TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Score North Live.
It sure is. Score North Live, live from the Minnesota State Fair. Rami Makhlouf, Danny Cunningham with you for the next hour, taking you right up to Purple Daily. If you're looking for us, if you're on your way out to the State Fair and want to stop by and say hi, as a number of people have already done this afternoon, here's where to find us. We're off Chambers Street on the left edge of the grandstand. Come on out and check out the Score North merchandise booth. It's open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. Show us your Score North mobile app, and you'll receive a $5 T-shirt. Also, we're donating all proceeds from the All Arise T-shirts to Luis Arise's favorite charity, the Ronald McDonald House. So come on out to the State Fair, say hi, get yourself a shirt for $5, and help out a good cause. Danny, how are you, dude?
Doing well. How are you, Rami?
Good. I just talked to you in the last hour. That was a pointless question.
No, I mean, a lot has changed. I went inside for a couple minutes, got to refresh myself with some air conditioning. It was nice.
We have a nice little spot
here. I'm refreshed now. I'm curious what the rent on this tiny home is.
You were asking that yesterday. Are you looking to move?
My rent's kind of high. My rent's kind of high right now.
You want to move into the house out here at the State Fairgrounds? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, there's no driveway. I'm not sure about street parking here, so I don't know.
I'm sure the parking is tough, especially, you know, while the State Fair is going on.
Yeah, but like the other 51 weeks out of the year can't be that bad.
Manny, you've lived here a long time.
My whole life.
I came here from Wisconsin.
35 years.
Danny asked a question yesterday that I don't know the answer to. I do know in Wisconsin it was used all year round for festivals, conventions, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
What goes on with the State Fairgrounds when the State Fair isn't going on? Do you know?
Well, they have other things around here. Well, Soundset has been here the last couple of years.
Okay.
It used to be out near Canterbury Park, but now it's, I think, the last 3 or 4 years, I think, Soundset has been out here. And they use it for a variety of different things throughout the year. It's certainly not as used as much as it is like during this 12-day period of the fair, but you know, typically throughout the year there's different things, little beer festivals and things like that will be here once in a while, I think. So yeah, it does get used a decent amount throughout the year, but just not as extensively as this 12-day period.
Most of these stands and buildings and stuff out here are not like temporary fixtures. These are out here year-round, I would assume.
A lot of them sit right out here, and they get closed down. They get winterized.
Is this up here year-round? Our spot that we're broadcasting from? Really?
I think it is, yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was one of those, like, houses that you can just like slap together. It's like an IKEA piece of furniture.
Like slap together a house. If you could slap together a house, I don't think it'd be this nice.
A house by numbers. Attach part one to part two.
Well, like I'm guessing the Sweet Martha's cookie jar doesn't move.
No, that's not collapsible.
No,
that is definitely not collapsible.
You can't slap that together.
By the way, still no free cookies sent this way. Just putting that out there.
You didn't
Sweet
say
Martha.
That loud enough.
No free cookies sent this way yet. Just saying, no free cookies sent this way. We did get, I guess, free football last night, Danny. I didn't have to pay for it, nor would I have. It happened in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
We're calling that football?
Between the Packers and the Raiders. That's a perfect little microcosm of what NFL preseason football is. And I love football as much as the next guy, but I don't know what to do about this because I feel like the preseason is necessary. They need to fine-tune some things. They need to ramp things up for the regular season. There are guys trying to earn jobs, and what happens on the field certainly plays a role in the coaches deciding who's going to get those last few spots on the roster. You need the preseason from a football team standpoint and getting ready for an NFL season. I don't know, and this is going to sound weird, on a sports talk radio show that's leading right into a football show with Matthew Collar, I don't know, and maybe it's just how good the baseball season is going, that I necessarily need preseason football, and I don't know how to fix it so that I do need preseason football, Danny.
I'm with you. I don't need preseason football right now. I didn't watch any of the Packers, Raiders, whatever you want to call that last night. The Vikings play tomorrow. I'll watch some of that.
I'll watch the Vikings as a professional.
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to.
I'm not watching that game as a fan. But like, I'm watching the Vikings as a professional tomorrow night.
Sure. But like, the Browns play tonight. I'm not going to watch them. Like,
you're
I just,
a Browns
I
ha- fan.
And I'm a Browns fan, exactly. I have no need for this preseason football. I'm excited for tomorrow because we've got college games that count.
Okay.
That's the football I'm excited for this weekend. I'm excited to see Miami and Florida. I'm excited to see Colgate and Villanova and Youngstown State and Samford. And I believe if you are a degenerate gambler, you have a chase game as Arizona travels to Hawaii for the late night game.
Wait a minute. You're excited to see Colgate and Villanova play?
Manny, it is week zero of the college football season. I am excited. I will be on my couch.
I can't say that I'm hyped up for Colgate and Villanova.
That sounds like the opening round of the NCAA basketball tournament.
The NIT.
Colgate and
Villanova. No, they'd be playing games.
Yeah, Villanova would be in the
tournament. Villanova would be
yeah.
probably.
They want a title.
It sounds like a 1-16 matchup in the NCAA tournament. That's
Manny, I will be on my couch. I will have chicken wings, and it will be a great day. This is the preseason.
You didn't tell me there'd be chicken wings. Now I'm in.
There's always chicken wings. When there's college football on TV. When there's college football on TV early in the season, chicken wings are usually involved. That's how I have to do it. But
I know where I'll be spending
that. That will be my preseason. I'll be watching games that count, preparing for the actual week one next week. But I'm excited for those games because they count. You've got a team in Florida that's number 8 in the country playing a game that matters tomorrow. I would much rather watch that than watch a game that matters but doesn't count
right.
in the NFL, because that's what preseason is. These games matter to the guys trying to make the roster, to the teams trying to fine-tune things, like you said, but they don't count. And because they don't count, I can't feel invested in them whatsoever.
And I don't know about you guys. I do it to myself every year. I get a little football hungry. You know what I mean? I get a little itchy itch for some football come when, you know, the air starts smelling like fall. We get to August, close to September, and I get a little hankering for some football.
Yep.
And then I'll turn on preseason football and it just doesn't hit the spot. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, this isn't even good, and I can't even watch a full game. I do for the teams that I cover because I feel like it's my duty. I need to know these teams, etc. But it doesn't satisfy. It's like you're really hungry and you want a good meal and you get something and you're just like, I didn't do it. Still hungry.
So Monday night, I watched the Monday night football game that was on ESPN because the broadcast crews, I suppose, need fine-tuning as well.
Sure.
They need a preseason too. But it was San Francisco against Denver, and I watched the first couple of drives, and one, Jimmy Garoppolo looked terrible. But two, I'm like,
it's been looking bad.
This is so far from what I want to see. This is not football. This is not what football is supposed to look like. And that's coming from someone who watched an 0-16 team. Like, this is bad. These games don't matter. No one cares out there. How am I supposed to watch this and even pretend to enjoy it?
And is it true that it's full price tickets for preseason games?
I believe so. I mean, I don't know that as fact, but I believe that, yeah, when you pay for season tickets, you get 10 tickets. You get 2 preseason games, and you get 8 regular season home games.
It's like required.
I can
like
ask around. I can ask. I have a couple friends that work in various ticket offices across the NFL. I can send a text and ask around. But yeah, that's my belief.
Here's my question, and I don't even have an answer to this question. If anybody out there does, 651-646-8255, or tweet us at Score North. That's SKOR North. That's how you find us on all your various social media platforms. And it's this again. I don't have an answer to this, Danny Manny. If you do, help me out. How do you fix this? Can you fix it? Can you make preseason football interesting and more watchable?
There's a way to fix it. It's just the owners ain't going to like it.
Which is what?
You get rid of the damn preseason games.
Oh, so just getting rid of it?
Yeah.
Or at the very least,
cut it down to 2.
Yes, I think you need to cut the preseason in half. Cut the preseason in half. Move training camp back a little bit. Start training camp in early August instead of late July. Give the players another week of summer. Move it back a little bit. That'll help to cut down on the injuries. Mm-hmm. You still have nearly just as much time before week one, but instead of wasting 4 or 5 days where you're either preparing for a game that doesn't count or recovering from a game that doesn't count or playing a game that doesn't count,
yep.
You have those days injected into the practice schedule.
But the problem
is, then
you've
got your 2 preseason games that you can fine-tune things, that you can see guys and get real tape on them and evaluate whether or not they need to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
But how rare is it that you see a guy in the 4th preseason team show out, make the team because of that, and then go on to do great things?
And the problem is...
Almost never.
The problem is you can cut down the preseason in half, but the owners are going to want the owners don't want to lose that gate for those two games or that one home game that they would have, that they would lose. And they're going to want extra. They're going to want that to be made up somehow. And so they're going to cry for two extra regular season games. Yeah. I mean, and
that's not something that the players want because right now they're basically not playing. You might play a half in preseason game number three. And other than that, it's a series here and a series there. If that, I've seen entire preseasons where Aaron Rodgers will only play a half during my time covering the Packers.
And that's too much.
And that's not that unusual. So for the owners to say, well, if we're going to cut the preseason down to two games, we need to add two regular season games. Players are looking at that, at least the ones who are established on NFL rosters, and going, that's not really a fair trade-off. You're just making me play two extra games that I wasn't going to play beforehand. Yeah, you're getting more money out of it, but it's more money on my back and more work and more entertainment at my expense.
And the value of your game check goes down.
Right.
Because your salary's staying the same. You're not getting a greater salary for 18 games. You're just getting it that salary divided by 18 instead of 16 now. And it's more wear and tear on your body, and it's going to shorten your career. Say what you want, but two extra games is going to do a lot of damage to everyone's body.
Absolutely.
And that could be the difference between playing 6 years in the NFL or 8 or 9 years in the NFL. And how much money is that at the end of someone's career?
So we don't really have any answers on how to fix the preseason.
No answers at all.
And make it watchable.
No, it will never be watchable. I don't foresee changes coming. I don't necessarily even have a good answer as to how you should change it. I just know that right now it's not working.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have to play them. The teams need these games, and I guess there is a market out there for people who will watch it.
How much do the teams need these games, though? And I know neither of us watched last night.
I think they do.
But the Packers and Raiders, how much did either one of those teams gather from last night?
More is determined in practice. Yeah. And I think that's more the case now than it ever has been in the NFL.
I would agree.
In terms of who's going to make the roster, who's going to win starting jobs, more of that is determined day-to-day in practice than it is on a preseason field. But these coaches, and it means more to those guys on the lower half of the roster who, again, are fighting for either a spot on the roster or maybe a starting job, maybe just even a starting job in a specific package.
Yeah.
That means these games mean a lot to those guys. And coaches want to see that in-game situations. They can't determine it. They can't fully measure it in just a practice situation when it comes to those guys.
So what about the idea of maybe turning the preseason into something that's, in some ways, kind of like the NBA Summer League, where you're not playing. I mean, NBA Summer League, Karl Anthony Towns is not playing in NBA Summer League for the Timberwolves. We know that because he's the best player on the team. He doesn't need that.
I don't know if there are enough bodies to do that. Yeah, that's the problem
with
that.
You
need starters and guys on the upper half of the roster to play in these preseason games just so you can field enough guys on the field at any given time to play a football game. Now, if you want to make it 7-on-7, if you want to make the preseason 7-on-7 and say, you know, you can 30 or 40 guys on the roster are exempt from playing in the preseason, and you just boil it down to the guys who, A, need the work just to get better, or B, need the work to try and earn a spot on the roster or earn a spot in the rotation, I think that might be one solution. But is anybody going to watch that? The NFL wants people coming out, paying for tickets, watching it live, want people turning on their TVs or turning on their radios or streaming it somewhere. The NFL is going to want a product that people want to watch.
People are going to watch football if you put it on TV. I think if you put the Vikings practices on TV, people would watch.
Probably.
If you put practices on TV, people would watch it because people do, like we started the show, people have a hunger for football.
Right.
That's never going to be a question. Now, I don't know if the right way to do this is ever going to satisfy the NFL and its owners financially, but I think the answer from a football point of view is, okay, maybe you don't want to play these preseason games, but Rami, you bring up a good point that there are some things that you can only get against other teams in game situations. Why not have more of these joint practices? Why not have every team have a mandatory 4 joint practices against other teams? You can do 2 days of a joint practice. Say the Vikings could do 2 days of a joint practice versus the Jaguars, 2 days versus the Raiders. They could go down to Florida. Oakland or Las Vegas next year could come here. And that's how you satisfy that. You can get it because it's going to be a higher intensity type of practice against another team. You can set up a scrimmage so it is a game type situation where you have teams moving the ball, where you have teams shuffling players in and out, different packages, and you can set things up but it's also scripted enough to where you also have total control over it, and you're going to see less guys get hurt.
You could try that, but I don't know that.
And you can put it on TV.
Intra-squad practices on TV? Like
but
you said.
But the whole practice is on TV. If you want to watch wide receivers go through individual drills on TV, why not? Because that's something you don't get to see every day. What we do see is, in preseason,
the NFL wants to sell tickets.
That's the con here. But to preseason, what we do see is we see a football game that loosely resembles a football game that no one really wants to watch because it's really just a terrible version of the product that we watch each and every Sunday from September until February. If you put a practice on TV, people are going to watch and people are going to be moderately entertained because it's something different.
By the way, speaking of buying tickets, we were asking how much preseason tickets go for. Ryan tweets, at Rami is tweeting, that's how you can find me. Says, actually, I'm going to the Vikings game tomorrow and paying $99 for three tickets. That is not full price. That is not
$99 total for three tickets?
I think that's what he's saying, $99 total for
three
tickets.
Where is he sitting?
He didn't say in the tweet.
Ryan, tweet us again. Where are you sitting?
I hope you're on the field, Ryan.
Are you sitting on the roof of U.S. Bank Stadium?
He better at least be in the lower bowl.
For $33 bucks a piece?
I hope he's on the sidelines. For a preseason game, on the sidelines for that.
For 33 apiece?
I mean, at the very least, he better be sitting in the lower bowl.
For a preseason game, dude, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I bet you these aren't very good seats.
How much would you pay for a preseason football
game?
Would
I pay?
Yeah, you.
Nothing. Nothing.
Exactly.
Not a penny.
And you think $33 should be up or down?
I'm not basing it on what I would pay. I'm basing it on what the NFL, on the greed of the NFL and what I think they would ask for, not what I would pay. That's not the question here. It's what's the NFL going to ask for? And
too
they've
much.
Shown time and time again that they are very greedy. I bet you those aren't even great seats. Ryan, if you're listening, please let us know whereabouts you might be sitting. That's why I said, is he sitting on the roof of U.S. Bank Stadium for $33 a ticket?
Be a really cool view, though. And actually,
you can see that skyline.
If you're sitting on
all
the roof,
you people who go to Target Field for the skyline.
That's really exclusive, too. That's a really exclusive spot. I would rather sit on the roof and look down than sit in the upper deck.
But well, Danny, you've been up there. Right?
Yeah,
you and Judd did the climb.
We weren't
climb
quite
up there.
On the roof. We were at the very top
the very
row of the
row.
Upper deck. Judd started sweating and got dizzy. It was a hike up there.
I was tired.
I was out of breath. It was a lot of walking. We were really, really high up there.
I couldn't believe how small it was a court when you guys showed it because it was for the NCAA tournament, but I couldn't believe how small it looked from all the way up there.
It looked like ants playing basketball.
And I'm sure it looks like ants playing football during
a football
game. To an
extent, I mean, the players are obviously going to be the same size as the basketball players were, but the playing
field of play
so
is much bigger.
Bigger
yeah. But still.
That's the difference.
That's crazy.
How does
what happened last night even happen with Green Bay and the Raiders?
And the thing is,
there were holes in the end zone?
Well, that's because they were playing on a CFL field, and that's where the CFL goalposts are. The CFL goalposts, Rami, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this.
Yes, I know. They're
in the middle of the end zone. It's not on the back line like in the NFL.
The end zone is 20 yards deep, right?
Correct.
Because why would anybody need to take that into consideration when they're scheduling a game like this?
Why would the NFL have to go up to Canada beforehand to check on a field to make sure it's playable? You know, why would that make sense?
Gosh. Like, there's just some stuff that I feel like far more qualified and far smarter people than me are in positions of power for organizations like the NFL. And then you see something that so easily could have been avoided like this. And like Danny said, nobody thought about that. Nobody thought about pulling the giant goalpost out of the ground and having to fill that hole so players don't, you know, break an ankle.
And the thing is, this isn't the first time we've had field issues. It happened with the Hall of Fame game a couple years ago in Canton when the paint was...
Were involved in that game,
yeah,
too.
And then last year, the famous Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Rams game, the Monday night game, that was supposed to be in Mexico. They played that in L.A. because the field in Mexico wasn't good enough. They had scheduled the game somewhere else. They actually did do the due diligence that time, probably because the game mattered. They went down the week before and said, you know what, this isn't a good idea, guys. This isn't a good idea.
Yeah,
we should probably go back. We should probably go to L.A. for this one.
And that field in Mexico City was a mess.
Yeah, this isn't the first time. This has become routine. This happens almost once a year now for the NFL.
It's ridiculous.
It's happened three times in the last three seasons.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. It's inexcusable.
Even though it's only a preseason game, that's still an embarrassment.
It's inexcusable.
Yeah. There's no way that should slip through the cracks with an organization like the National Football League and all the resources and staff at their fingertips. There's just no way.
They are a, I don't even know how many billion-dollar organization. How does this happen? You are worth, as an organization, you're worth more than almost anything in the world. And this happens. It's inexcusable. It's a joke. It's laughable. It's a black eye for the league.
And it had to be weird to play on that. This is a quote from Daniel Carlson, Oakland, who's Oakland's kicker. He said, it took a little while to figure out what that meant in terms of the 80-yard field. It was a little strange. The red zone was now the 30-yard line. That does have to throw you
they
completely
just, all
off.
All they did was they put pylons at the 10-yard line.
Yeah, and played on an 80-yard field.
That's former Vikings kicker Daniel Carlson,
yeah, old friend.
The way.
But when you've played your entire life on a 100-yard field and it's cut down to 80, that's just got to throw you off your game a little bit.
Honestly, I would have been more apt to watch if everyone took their shoulder pads off and played flag football last night. I would have watched.
And then did you see the disagreement, I want to say? Not jiving stories between Aaron Rodgers and his head coach, Matt LaFleur?
Oh, yes, I saw that. That was beautiful to see.
LaFleur said that the field wasn't an issue. Rodgers said he didn't play because of the field. And then afterwards...
Mike McCarthy, where are you?
Afterwards, LaFleur was asked about it and said, well, it was a combination of a lot of things that I really don't want to get into right now. So it is what it is. That's the best sports cliche that's out there when guys don't want to answer questions. They weren't playing their guys, and I didn't want to put our guys at risk.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's great. That is just great. I hope it doesn't work between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, of course you don't.
I hope he sabotages that relationship.
Who? Which one do you want to be the saboteur?
Rodgers.
Okay.
Yeah, because that has more lasting impact on the Green Bay Packers as an organization. If he can't get along with any head coach, that has a much longer lasting impact on the Green Bay Packers organization. So I hope that it doesn't work, but if Matt LaFleur is even just a competent NFL head coach, I keep saying this, the Packers are probably the favorites in the division.
I don't necessarily care one way or the other if that does or doesn't work. But it's more entertaining if it doesn't work, so I guess I do care. I would like it to not work. It'd be more entertaining.
We'll see if they can figure it out. We'll see if the NFL can figure out the preseason. Young Daniel Cunningham here wrote 3,000 words, did you say?
Roughly. Let me see what it was. It was...
check your words.
Turned out to be about 3,100.
On something that happened 5 years ago today that still has an impact on the Minnesota sports scene. We're going to talk about just that right after this. It's Score North Live on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile.
Soft, you gonna eat a fried stick of butter or no?
It's Score North, live from the Minnesota State Fair.
Score North live on the all-new Score North on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. Rami Makhlouf, Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill with you till 2 o'clock, taking you right up until Purple Daily. Stop on out here and check out the Score North merchandise booth. Open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. Show us your Score North mobile app, and you get a $5 T-shirt. And that Score North mobile app is also your one-stop shop, not only to stream us live or download, subscribe, and listen to all your favorite shows whenever you feel like it, but it is your one-stop shop for all written content from scorenorth.com as well, including Danny Cunningham up late last night, banging away at that keyboard with 3,000 or so words about the five-year anniversary of the Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins trade.
A lot of words. Yeah, that went down 5 years ago today. It kind of becomes forgotten about. Because
doesn't feel like it.
Because of how long that whole process was dragged out, in part because of something the Cavs did. But, yeah, it's been 5 years exactly. 5 years, like an hour ago, is when the teams announced the deal, and, yeah, it happened.
It was pretty much known that it was a done deal before they announced it, though,
like a
right?
week.
If I remember correctly.
The teams had to wait around a week after they had agreed upon the deal because Andrew Wiggins had signed a contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and that meant that once you sign a contract as a rookie, you have to wait 30 days before a team can trade you, and that's what happened there. That was part of the reason for the hang-up at the end.
Now, you guys both have some unique perspective on this, Danny and Matt. Danny, you were in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Were you covering the Cavaliers
yet? I was
yet?
In college at the time.
Okay, you were in college at the time. Manny, you were obviously here covering and following the Minnesota Timberwolves. Cleveland just had to be elated, regardless of what other corresponding moves had happened. LeBron was coming back home.
Sure.
So, but what was the feeling? Was the Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins deal even on the radar? Was everybody just so infatuated with LeBron and so happy he was coming back home that it didn't matter what else happened after that.
I mean, everyone was infatuated with LeBron, and rightfully so. I mean, you went from a team that had the worst record in the NBA over a four-year period to getting the best player in the world to play for your team. So, of course, they were infatuated with that, but it was also, what's next? Who's going to be that next piece that puts the Cavs over the top? And it was Kevin Love. Everyone was thrilled that the Cavs were going to trade Kevin Love, but the debate was, well, do we really think it's worth the Cavs giving up Wiggins to get Kevin Love? That was the debate that went on for a long, long time in Cleveland, even after the trade was made. A lot of people wanted it to be Deion Waiters that was traded for Kevin Love. A lot of people didn't want to trade Andrew Wiggins because they thought he was going to be a stud in the NBA, and we know now that since the trade, Kevin Love's been the better basketball player between the two. The Cavs, without a doubt, won the trade, but that doesn't mean it wasn't the right move for the Wolves either.
Manny, what was the mood here in terms of trading Kevin Love, and were folks excited about Andrew Wiggins? Because yeah. I know we're 5 years removed from it now, and that feeling isn't really still in the air, but when Andrew Wiggins was coming out of college, he was the unanimous number one pick. There wasn't really a lot of debate about that, especially after Joel Embiid had some injuries
late in
his college career. But there was a lot of buzz around Andrew Wiggins, and he seemed like a can't-miss, surefire NBA prospect. Were folks lamenting that they were going to lose Kevin Love, or was it all just hype and excitement about getting Andrew Wiggins?
There was a lot more excitement about getting Wiggins here because he was the number one overall pick, and because he was at that time viewed as, you know, the next Tracy McGrady or Kobe Bryant or something like that. Like, people were ready to put him on that sort of trajectory as a player. And Kevin Love also, like, the writing was on the wall here. Like, everybody knew Kevin Love wanted out. He was not happy here. He hadn't been happy for a couple of years because he wasn't. He had did a piece with Adrian Wojnarowski at the time. Like a couple of years prior, or like a year or so prior, where he basically aired out all his frustrations with the organization, and he was upset that David Kahn didn't give him the max contract and that they were saving it for Ricky Rubio. So all of this stuff had been going on, and it had gotten kind of toxic with Kevin Love still being here, and everybody knew that he wanted out. So I think people were just ready to move on and let him go. And I think everybody knew the team was going to take a step back from what they were in Kevin Love's last year, which was kind of fighting for a playoff spot until they kind of sputtered out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody knew that they were going to take a step back, but I think people were okay with that because they knew Love wanted out and they were still very high on Andrew Wiggins.
Manny, I want to ask you this because I'm genuinely curious about this. And I know Kevin Love didn't have the legacy here of Kevin Garnett, nor should he have. But people were genuinely happy for Kevin Garnett when the Boston Celtics won a title in 08.
Yeah.
When the Cavaliers won the title and Kevin Love got a ring, were people here happy for him?
I don't know if people were super happy for him. I don't know if anybody was really, like, disgusted or, like, oh, screw Kevin Love, you know, boo. I don't think Wolves fans here were, like, pulling against the Cavs to win that series. In fact, I'd be surprised if many people were pulling for the Cavs to lose that series because of what the Cavs were doing coming back from a 3-1 deficit, and everybody was kind of growing tired of the Warriors being so good and so dominant. So it definitely wasn't the same sort of feeling towards Kevin Garnett, but I think it was just more indifferent than anything.
Okay.
Was there ever any, you said that some fans in Cleveland didn't want to trade Andrew Wiggins. They were hoping they could trade Deion Waiters for Kevin Love. Was that ever a real possibility, or was it Andrew Wiggins or bust for the Wolves if they were going to trade Kevin Love?
My inclination is that it was discussed at some time, and the Wolves wanted more than just that. They wanted Andrew Wiggins. They weren't going to do it for Deion Waiters, but it was the Cavs were foolish to not have put that offer on the table, because when you're negotiating, you don't start with your biggest chip right away.
Right.
You don't do that. So I'm confident that it was on the table at some point, but the Wolves wanted more, as they should have, and they got more. They got, for Kevin Love, they got the best possible return. Now, 5 years down the road, it doesn't necessarily look like that, but they traded a disgruntled superstar that wanted out of his current position,
yep.
And in return, they got the number one overall pick. That just doesn't happen. you don't see teams get that type of return for a superstar like Kevin Love the way that the Wolves did 5 years ago.
Now, the trade is done. It happened 5 years ago today. Go read Danny's piece about it at ScoreNorth.com or the ScoreNorth mobile app. And you two did a podcast about it too, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Also at ScoreNorth.com, wherever you download podcasts, or at the ScoreNorth mobile app, check out the latest Raised by Wolves talking about this very thing. Obviously, the Cavs got what they wanted out of the deal.
Yeah.
They got Kevin Love, who's still a cornerstone of that franchise to this day. They got the championships when LeBron was there. That's why you made that trade for Kevin Love. I don't even want to get into who wins and who loses that trade, but is there any way possible that in terms of the net of what you got from the two guys, with Andrew Wiggins' age and his ceiling still being what it is, and yes, we're still talking about that ceiling, that the Wolves will get more out of this than what the Cavs got?
I don't think it's possible because the Cavs got a title out of it.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer that the Cavs don't win that title in 2016. They don't get to four straight finals without Kevin Love. Now, you can say what you want about Kevin Love not being the best matchup in those series against Golden State, but he helps them get them there. They're not the team that they became without Kevin Love. They're certainly not that with Andrew Wiggins. Now, could they have traded Wiggins for something else if maybe Kevin Love would have been dealt to Golden State or something along that lines? Maybe. But the Cavaliers got a championship out of the equation, and the Wolves didn't get – the Wolves have gotten Andrew Wiggins, who has been an underperforming number one overall pick.
If Andrew Wiggins hits his ceiling and Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins – finally become the tandem that everybody thought that they could be with Gerson Rosas and all the changes to the organization now, and they win a title, can you say, Manny, that the Wolves got more out of this deal than the Cavs did? I'm not asking who won and who lost a deal. Everybody wins. If the Wolves end up with a championship in the Andrew Wiggins era, the Cavs end up with a championship in the Kevin Love era, everybody's happy and everybody wins. I'm just saying the net win-loss in terms of the player itself, can we one day look back at this and say that the Wolves got more out of their guy than the Cavs got out of their guy?
No.
Okay.
No. I think they would have to they would have to go to the NBA Finals four times. I mean, if Cat and Wiggins win an NBA title together, that's good in itself. I mean, fans will take that.
Right.
And they'll be good with that. But I think in terms of if you're comparing it to what the Cavs got out of Kevin Love in that four-year stretch and additionally to that, then it's not the same.
And furthermore, I think you can make the argument that not only did the Cavs win the title, and sure, you can also make the argument that this counts for nothing, but the 2017 Cavs, the year after, so Kevin Durant's first year in Golden State,
mm-hmm.
there's an argument that that is the best team in NBA history that didn't win a title. There's a very legitimate argument that that's the case because of just how good they were. They were better than the 2016 team.
Yep.
That was the best version of the Cavs that year. And that's I think, something else that has to go into it. But where the Wolves did win the trade here is the best thing that came out of that trade for them wasn't Andrew Wiggins. It wasn't, obviously, Anthony Bennett. It wasn't Thaddeus Young, who was also included. It was the fact that it allowed them to be bad enough to get Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
That is the best part about this trade because as things stand right now statistically, Kevin Love is still the second best player in Wolves history. But there's a pretty good chance that Karl Anthony Towns will go down as the best player in Wolves history. And if you don't trade away Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins,
you
never
end up
get
getting
him.
Karl Anthony Towns.
And that is the real win of the trade for the Wolves. It's not that you got back Andrew Wiggins. It's that you enabled yourself to be a 16-win team right after you went 40-42, and you got a generational talent.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say the Wolves won the trade. I didn't know this.
I wouldn't go there.
Terry tweets in, at Rami is tweeting, at MannyHill84 and at RealDCunningham. He says, don't forget that the Wolves were also trying to get Klay Thompson from the Warriors for Love. Dubs were never going to do that, but didn't stop the Wolves from trying.
I wrote about that, too, in the article because that was one of the hot rumors. And that was something that the Warriors were really interested in until Jerry West, the guy that is the logo of the league, stepped in and said, no, we shouldn't do this. He, at the time, was an advisor with the Warriors. Now he is one with the Clippers. Said, this is not a good idea. I think that he thought he saw something in Klay Thompson that not everyone else at that point had seen, and since then we've all seen it. That was something that was on the table. That was something the Warriors were interested in. So while Terry says the Dubs were never going to do it, but it didn't stop the Wolves from trying, that was a lot closer, I think, than people realized. That that got to the final stages, and then it kind of said, you know what, we're having second thoughts about this on the Golden State side.
If I'm not mistaken, at least the rumors were swirling at that time. I think it was going to be David Lee, Harrison Barnes, and Klay Thompson for Kevin Love and Zach LaVine. I think that was the one that was the trade that was out there.
Hold on, give me that.
At least that was the rumored one.
Give me the package again.
David Lee, who was an overpaid power forward at that time.
Yeah, I remember him.
David Lee, Harrison Barnes, and Klay Thompson for Kevin Love, Zach LaVine, and then I think a first round pick or something like that. Additionally to that, So.
I feel like nobody really wins that trade.
I think that the Warriors probably would have won that trade. Getting Kevin Love would have helped to make them a... They would have been a team that still would have competed for titles.
Yeah.
They never win 73 games.
But again, going back to your...
And the question then becomes, who do the Cavs trade Wiggins for? Because really, this trade, it helped a team win a title, but it also helped another team become a dynasty.
Right.
Because if the Wolves trade Kevin Love to the Warriors and the Cavs trade Andrew Wiggins for
someone
else.
That's what I was just going to say, the butterfly effect.
Maybe the Cavs become the team that wins 3 out of 5 years.
Right.
Maybe LeBron's still in Cleveland. Maybe Kyrie Irving never gets unhappy. We don't know everything that would have changed there, and that's another angle that's really interesting that doesn't necessarily relate to the sports scene here, but it's something that has to be thought about. If Kevin Love is a Warrior, how many times did the Cavs win the title? How many times do...
LeBron's probably still in Cleveland.
Is LeBron still in Cleveland? How many rings does he have? How many rings does Steph Curry have? Does Steph Curry ever become a unanimous MVP? All those things have to be considered.
Hey, just a follow-up on a couple of things that we talked about earlier before we hit this break. One, we talked about in the Score North First Place Twins show. And by the way, Trevor May and Tyler Duffy joined us on that show. If you missed any of it, check it out at scorenorth.com and the Score North mobile app. And while you're there, check out Danny's article on the 5-year anniversary of the Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins trade and the Raised by Wolves podcast about that very thing. But in the Twins show today, we talked about these players' weekend uniforms.
Yeah.
And we're getting our first glimpse of them. Have you seen what the Cubs are wearing?
I've seen that they're wearing their normal hats instead of the all-white ones.
Well, the hats, maybe. I haven't seen the hats. The helmets are all-white and corresponding with the all-white jerseys and uniforms. And that is Jason Hayward right there looking like a stormtrooper from Star Wars.
Oh, my goodness.
They
look like... when you fire up MLB The Show and you have to create your player to do the road to the show and you have no details and you don't have a team, so you are in a
it's just all
uniform,
white, all plain white.
That's what you look like. Yep. That's terrible.
That's brutal.
And
that's
one of the worst parts that I failed to bring up about that, if you are one of the teams wearing all white, your pitcher can't wear the all white hat. They make the pitcher wear a different hat because they're worried about the ball blending in. So you cannot wear the all-white hat if you're the pitcher.
This is also, I've said this before, this is also a play-by-play man's worst nightmare.
Yes.
White on white. It is the worst nightmare.
Yeah, you can't see the numbers. You can't see the numbers.
You can't
see
the
names.
You can't see anything.
Nothing. I don't understand it. I do like the black ones, though. I don't understand. Okay, so for playing purposes, okay, it's got its own problems, but... If you're a fan who's looking to buy a jersey, again, I said on the Twins show, I like the all-black, not so much the all-white. Can you guys wear something that's that pristine and white? I can't. There's no way I make it...
Like in regular day...
Yeah, there's no way I make it through the day, especially out here at the State Fair, with an all-white shirt that's still all-white and pristine by the end of the day. That's just not going to happen.
That guy's eating like a turkey leg or something with an all-white shirt on. I wouldn't be confident if I were him doing that.
At least not a shirt I like.
No. Uh-huh. I have some all-white shoes that I'm worried that I have to be really careful
about
what I wear. Yeah, you've got to
be super careful with all-white shoes.
You have to clean them and spray them down before you wear them. I wouldn't wear them here.
It's ending up with food on it.
Absolutely.
If not some kind of dirt or smudge, definitely some food.
Yeah, like you there are certain foods you have to avoid if you're wearing all white. Like you can't have pizza because the pizza sauce is just
getting on there.
You can't have chicken wings.
Bound to happen.
Yeah.
You can't have anything that involves ketchup, so no french fries. Those are out the windows. You can't have a burger. Can't have a hot dog because you're going to get mustard on yourself.
Yep.
like, just your food options are destroyed. You can't go to Sweet Martha's cookie jar because you're going to get chocolate. You're going to get chocolate all over your shirt, and you're going to ruin it.
And that chocolate is not coming out of that white shirt.
No, you have to essentially have it coming out at all. You have to have a corn dog with no condiments.
And
maybe corn. Maybe corn.
No, you're going to get butter on there.
Yeah.
You're going to get butter on your shirt.
The butter will stain, too.
Butter stains. Butter doesn't come out.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know who can pull it off.
You can drink water.
Yeah, that you can get away with. Yeah,
if you're wearing a white shirt, you can drink water.
That you can get away
out
with.
Of a straw.
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of food, yesterday, Brian, who Judd said was a friend of his, now he is very much a friend of mine, after he dropped off a bucket of Martha's cookies yesterday, because they still haven't dropped off free cookies, Brian just brought me a I brought a salad today, and I talked to you about this
yesterday.
I can't eat State Fair food every day and not go back to 300-plus pounds, so I packed me a salad for lunch today. And God bless you, Brian. Just dropped off a lobster roll. Where is this from, Brian? From Cafe Kareem? Cafe Kareem. He just dropped me off a lobster roll from Cafe Kareem, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And, you know what? It looks really good. I don't know if it compares to what I showed you yesterday, though.
Which I don't remember.
The lobster BLT at the U.S. Open.
That's not here at the fair.
No, but it was one of the greatest sandwiches I think I've ever seen.
I love a good lobster roll.
And you've got some 8-year-old super sharp cheddar.
You have a block of aged cheddar for me. Brian's trying to kill me.
I don't blame him.
So I'm going to eat that during the break. I said there were two things I wanted to follow up on. I don't remember what the second thing is, because the lobster roll got put in front of me. So
you eat the food. That might help you
remember. I'll try and remember what that is. And I have a question about the Minnesota Vikings when we return on Score North Live. Live from the Minnesota State Fair on 1500scorenorth.com and that nifty, handy, dandy, totally free Score North mobile.
It's Score North Live from the Minnesota State Fair.
All right, that's right. It is Score North at the Minnesota State Fair, and it is time for a Score North download. It's 1:49. Manny Hill here with you. This download brought to you by Robert W. Baird and Company. And yes, we are indeed out at the State Fair. It's day two of the Great Minnesota Get Together, and we will be here doing live programming all the way up until 6 o'clock with Purple Daily starting up here in about 10 minutes or so. And, of course, that'll be on until 4, and then Mackie and Judd with Rami will take you up from 4 to 6. So lots of good stuff going on here at the State Fair. We'll be here live and local up until 6 o'clock today. Also, we have our Score North merchandise booth on the side of where we are here. As you can find us on off Chambers Street on the left edge of the grandstand. And that merchandise booth, you can buy a variety of different things, shirts, hats, anything you may be looking for. If you show us your Score North mobile app, you will receive a $5 t-shirt. And also, we are donating all proceeds from the All Arise t-shirt to Luis Arise's favorite charity. And Rami, you can't try and roll the R's right now because you're eating right now, so just let me do it.
Flying everywhere, but I can do it.
All proceeds from the All Arises t-shirts go to Luis Arise's favorite charity, the Ronald McDonald House. So that is your Score North download as we return for one final segment of Score North Live.
Totally unprofessional to eat on the air, but I feel like it's my duty to do so at the Minnesota State Fair. Yeah. And, I mean, if there's anywhere to do it, it's here.
I ate cookies on Clusterfun today.
I mean, you should. They were at the State Fair.
Rami, I was just worried about if you tried to roll your R's while consuming food, that, like, a bunch of food would just come flying out of your mouth.
I mean, yeah.
And hit me.
Yeah, probably.
That'd be hilarious. Let's be real.
Why is everything at my expense? Yesterday, no places taking debit cards. Oh, that's funny because it happened to Danny. Everything that goes wrong at my expense is hilarious.
I didn't say it was funny because it happened to you. It just saved me the trouble of waiting in line
and I found
out that they don't take cash. I mean, yeah, I did laugh. That lobster roll that Brian dropped off from Cafe Kareem before the break, mm-hmm. No joke, it's going to be difficult to find anything that outdoes that during this time at the
State Fair. Better than the gizmo.
Dude, this is incredible.
Is it better than the gizmo that we had yesterday?
Yes, the gizmo was good. This is amazing.
I need to figure out what I'm going to eat for lunch today.
Are you a fan of lobster? Lobster rolls?
I like lobster. I'm not as big on lobster rolls.
This is really, really good. Go to Cafe Kareem and get yourself a lobster roll. They didn't pay me to say that.
This place is so big, I don't know that I would be able to find Cafe Kareem.
He said it's right around the corner.
Yeah, we pass it when we're
walking in. Like I said, this place is so big, I don't know that I'd be able to find Cafe Kareem.
Brian dropped off cookies yesterday, dropped off the lobster roll today.
Oh, those cookies. I went to Sweet Martha's for breakfast today.
For breakfast?
You got cookies for breakfast. I had cookies for breakfast. They were good.
You can't go wrong with that.
No,
Brian said he wants to drop me off a different item of food every day. Like, dude, are you trying to kill me? Does Brian want my job? Is that what's happening here?
I think me and Brian could do a mean Score North Live.
You guys are plotting together against me?
No, I'm not plotting together against you because I'm the one that's on this show all the time. I mean, the other host just rotates whether or not you or Matthew is busy. I'm the one that's here.
Man, that is really good. I don't even want to talk right now. I just want to eat this sandwich. There's a lot of it left, and I just want to eat it.
We got 3 minutes left in the show, so.
Yeah, you can power through.
Earlier in the break, we were talking about Ryan, who said he's got 3 tickets to tonight's Vikings game for $99. We asked where he's sitting, and I said they can't be good seats, even though it's preseason, and they should be good seats at that price.
Uh-huh.
And I was right. They're in section 316.
No, I don't know where that is.
No offense, Ryan. I'm sure you're going to have a great time tonight. But Ryan. 316, I assume, is a little bit higher up there.
Yeah, that's up there. Yeah. Ryan.
It's $33 a ticket. What do you expect?
I mean,
do you know what I could do with $33 and have a better time than watching preseason football?
I'm not saying
football?
It's worth it. I'm just saying knowing what you know about the NFL.
Rami, that is 11 Tito's and Sprites between 9 and 11 tomorrow night at Uptown
That's
Tavern.
True. That is true, and I'm sure you will be there. I'm sure you'll be there.
11 of them.
I know we only have a couple of minutes left, and Matthew Collar and Myron Medcalf are coming up with Purple Daily here in just a minute. They're standing.
Myron looks like a college football coach. He looks like a college football coach going through training camp now.
Honestly, Myron kind of resembles my wide receivers coach from college.
Yes.
He kind of looks like Coach Sean Allgood. A very similar hat, a very similar build. They look very similar.
He just needs the big laminated play card, and he'd be all
and
set.
And a whistle, yeah.
Or the big signs that they hold up now with the goofy pictures on them, the cult defenses?
If you wear that kind of hat as a coach, you are above holding a sign.
Yeah, yeah.
You're above that.
Running drills.
That is below his pay grade.
You're running drills. You're doing sprints with the players.
If you have that hat on, you're getting paid too much to hold up signs.
That's true. That's probably true. I couldn't pull off that hat.
No, you couldn't, but Myron can.
Could you?
I don't know. I feel like the sunglasses do it really well, too.
Yeah.
The sunglasses are a great fit.
The sunglasses complete the look.
Yes, make Myron's outfit complete.
It brings that whole college football coach look together.
Yes, he looks like my wide receivers coach.
Well, I wanted to talk some Vikings here, but I feel like now we don't even really have time,
Well, that's all right, though. We got about a minute left in the show. We have Purple Daily coming up here at the top with Matthew Collar and Myron Medcalf.
The question I
Coach
had,
Myron Medcalf.
By the time I get this question out, we're going to have to wrap it up, and maybe they can talk about it. On Purple. They probably have better things to talk about in their own topics and don't really care what my stupid head comes up with. But I was reading the Kirk Cousins article at The Ringer that they were doubling down on Kirk Cousins with bringing in Gary Kubiak and Kevin Stefanski in an offense that's more up his alley, that he's more familiar with. And the question that I had after reading that was, what if this doesn't work? You still have another guaranteed year on that contract. What if this, you've done everything now that you possibly can do, doubling down to put your quarterback in a position to succeed. If that doesn't work.
Could
that
be some people looking for new jobs.
If it doesn't work, they're going to be looking for a quarterback in April.
Perhaps something we talk about on Mackie and Judd with Rami at 4 o'clock live here from the State Fair. As we were saying, Matthew Collar, Myron Medcalf standing by for Purple Daily. That's coming up next on 1500 Score.